It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? I'm so glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Revelation, the 14th chapter, and we're going to begin reading with verse 1. Revelation chapter 14, verse 1. And while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to call us here at the church, 217-847-2717. If you'd like to visit our website, you'll find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. It's parkviewbiblechurch.org. If you'd like to send us an email, that would be parkviewbible@gmail.com. parkviewbible@gmail.com. I hope that that was enough time for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study today. Revelation chapter 14, we're going to begin reading with verse 1. Revelation 14, verse 1. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 104,000 having his Father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven as a voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung as it were a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000, which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with a woman, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God, and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come. And worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. And there followed another angel, saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. We're going to end the reading there and begin with prayer. Father, we thank you that we have an opportunity to come today and to study your precious word. I hope that you use this broadcast, this program, this study to touch and change lives. First of all, I hope that they come to know you as their Savior and call upon you, understanding that all they need to do is believe. And if they believe, then they will have the saving power that you give them. Just to believe that you died on the cross of Calvary, believe that you are the Messiah, the Savior, the Son of God. So please today, Father, that you give them that saving faith and they'll trust in you and follow you. And then we will begin a wonderful walk, and each day and every day we enjoy walking and serving and praising your precious name. Now please just guide and lead us today through this study, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we have read these verses in chapter 14, it's kind of a refreshing sight from the things, the horrors of the 13th chapter of Revelation. John sees the Lamb, and he sees 144,000 redeemed standing on Mount Zion, and that's what we read there in that first verse. And I looked, and lo, the Lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000 having his Father's name written on their foreheads. John sees the Lamb and 144,000 redeemed, and they're standing right there at Mount Zion. Back in the 13th chapter, verse 15, it says, Cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Now, when we look at the persecution that took place, the truth The word of God had fallen in the streets. Saints' blood ran just like water. All good is the same as gone from the earth. All faith is missing. It's just almost gone. The beast proclaimed himself to be God. The dictator of the political and the religious group is in place. Terrible persecution for the Jews, those that are faithful. Except the Lord has shortened those days, there should be no flesh saved. And again, that's not talking about salvation. That's talking about cutting it, ending it, because if not, the evil and the wickedness of the world was becoming so powerful and so great that no one that was born again, that was saved, would be able to live. There are seven outstanding things that we're going to look at in this chapter, the 14th chapter. And we're going to kind of summarize those just a little bit so you can be prepared as we begin this study. Verse 1 through 5, we see the 144,000 sealed ones on Mount Zion. In the 6th and 7th verse, we find the everlasting gospel, God's closing testimony to the earth as he proclaims his word. In the verse 8, in the 8th verse, the announcement that Babylon has fallen. Now that's as far as we read today. But as we look a little further here through the 9th and the 11th verse, we find the doom of those that worship evil or worship the devil. In the 13th verse, it says, "Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord." And so there will be many that are persecuted, but blessed are they that are the dead which die in the Lord, the 13th verse tells us. And then verse 14 through 16, we have kind of generally brought those together with the word or the term harvest. And then verse 17, as we look from 17 through 20, we find God's wrath and the vengeance is poured out. And so that's a kind of a survey of what is coming. And I wanted to kind of give that broad survey of this chapter. Now, let's go back to the first verse of this 14th chapter. And so we find Revelation chapter 14, verse 1. "And I looked, and lo, the Lamb stood on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written in their foreheads." 144,000, and the question comes, is this the same as that was sealed back in the 7th chapter? We find back in the 7th chapter the sealing of 144,000. And we find that there were 12,000 from each tribe. And as you look, you can find in the 4th verse, "And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel." And it begins through with Judah and Reuben, Gad, Asher, Naphtali, Manasseh, Simeon, Levi, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, and Benjamin. There are 12,000 from each one of those tribes. And so these were sealed for the purpose of evangelizing the world, of giving out the gospel this last time. This sealing was done between the 6th and 7th seals. And is this 144,000 the same? Yes, it is. They were all still alive after the sounding of the seventh trumpet, the third woe. They lived through it all. They lived through the days and the months and the years, which were 3.5. God said they would, and they did. They never veered from the Word of God. They never left the Word of God. They stood solid and true to the Word of God. They were well marked. They have the names of the Father. They have the name of the Father and of the Lamb in their foreheads. They are a very segregated group, separated, redeemed from among men, the Scripture says. They are pure. They were virgins. No guile was found. You see, at this time, coming to the end, there was no time for family. God called these 144,000 out for this short period of time to present the gospel, present it clear, call out all that would be saved in these very last days. And there was no time to have a family, to care for the family, to have the responsibility of the family. There was no time. God had his work to do, and this was the end. When the time when the 144,000 witnesses testified and lived is the time when hell's worst is taking place here on earth. No time to guard or protect or care for a family during this time. The world has gone completely mad. They believe all the lies of the beast, all the miracles are lies. All of society, everything is built on lies. All the religion that is present at this time, and it will be great. And when somebody says, boy, you're religious, that's not a compliment. Because there'll be great religion, but it'll all be built upon lies. Look at today. People have left the King James Bible. People have left the truth. They preach a social gospel. The lies that are preached from the pulpits today are set upon tradition and religion, and it's not based upon the Word of God. It's based upon what man feels and what man wants, but it's got nothing to do with the Word of God. They preach just enough of the Word that people seem to be satisfied or pacified by it, but it is built upon lies. We not only have lies preached in the pulpits today, but we also have many lies that come from our government today. And the reason there's so many lies of the government today is because they're built upon the same thing. They have left the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. They've left the Word of God. And they're building their thoughts and their teachings and their truths and their decisions are built upon the decisions of the devil and none other. The God in charge of all the earth's affairs is the God of lies. The anti, it means opposite, counterfeit. The Antichrist, the opposite and counterfeit. John chapter 8, verse 32 tells us, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. On the other hand, the Antichrist will come. He is the lie, the ultimate of liars, and he is the lie, and all who believe him will be damned. They will be bound to hell, without question. These 144,000 are the truth in the midst of all the untruths that's going on. And they will not leave the truth. Through persecution, they can try to kill them. They can try to make them change their message. They will not be able to kill them. They will not be able to change their message. They're going to stand true. There are few today that do the same. But we do have, there is always a remnant of the teachers of the truth throughout all of eternity. There's always been those that have not veered from the truth to satisfy the public or satisfy their people. And if you preach the truth, many times people don't like that. So they will go someplace where the truth is not preached, feel a lot more comfortable. But what happens is, you may be saved, but what happens is that your children, your grandchildren, those, they will not be saved because you've left the truth and left the power. Now, you're still saved, but you're going to answer for what you've done. So I want you to examine what they teach is just fine. I don't agree with all of it. Look to the Word of God for your authority. And if they have left the Word of God, then you need to get out. And you need to go to a place where they preach the truth, the Word of God, and stand up on the Bible. Stand up on the Bible. And I want you to go back to your old King James, please. Go back to the old King James. As we look at these verses here, and please, as I read through them, I'm going to read verse 1, 2, and then on into verse 3. And I looked, and lo, Lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, as a voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. What wonderful promises that's coming with harpers playing their harps. As we look at these verses of Scripture, we find something very special. Now, it comes not only with the harping of the harps and the voice of many waters, and they sung as it were a new song before the throne and before four beasts and the elders, and no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. There's something very special about these witnesses. It's the song they sing, a song no one but themselves could learn. They sing the song before the throne, before the four beasts, before the elders, as it tells us here. It is so wonderful to enjoy these verses here. And as we continue now, these are they which are not defiled with a woman, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goes. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. In their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. What a testimony. What a testimony that they are presenting and giving. As we enjoy and we find that when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Now, when we look at these verses of Scripture here, and we find that the fourth verse, and they which were not defiled with a woman, for they are virgins, these are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever they go. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto the God of the Lamb and to the Lamb. To their mouth was found no guile, for they were without fault before the throne of God. What a witness and what a testimony. And now what I read in these verses of Scripture came from Matthew. And I want to read now the sixth and seventh verse that builds to that. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to the every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God, give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment is come, and worship Him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of water. This everlasting gospel is to be preached to the peoples on the earth at the end of the great tribulation period, immediately preceding the judgment of the nations. And as we read, or as I read for you, we are looking at the end, when the Son of Man shall come in His glory. You see, that's the very end, and that's the 31st verse of the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 25, verse 31. So when He comes, when all this takes place, we find that the gospel, you talk about, you know, said that the end will not come till every person has heard the gospel. This is the gospel that's going to be preached. You see, it's not going to come in our time, because we will be raptured. We will be taken out of here before this time period takes place. But the end of the tribulation period, every person, this everlasting gospel is preached to the people of the earth. This will be towards the end of the tribulation period. They will have one last chance to bow down unto God and believe that He is the Savior. But as we know, it's going to be too late. The gospel is going to be preached. And then it says, before Him shall be gathered all the nations. He shall separate them one from another. This is a judgment held here on earth. There are three groups that are present at this judgment. One is the brethren, the Jews. The next we call the sheep, and that's the friends of the Jews. And then the last is the goats, which is the enemies of the Jews. So we have three groups that are really present here in this sixth and seventh verse that we read. When the close of the tribulation comes, this gospel preached, the everlasting gospel, is not the gospel of the kingdom. It's not the gospel of grace. It is judgment. Not salvation. The saved will rejoice, for the persecution has come to an end and the enemy has been destroyed. You say, well, then why do we call it the gospel? The good work that men try to do don't save. The saved are the only ones that can do a good work. You try to do something here on earth and you're lost, you don't know Jesus, you've chosen not to believe in Him for your salvation, solely for Him, you've chosen not to, and yet you believe that you need to do good deeds and good things, and so you give to charities and you help the poor and you do all these things. It's all a waste of time. Because unless you do it in Jesus' name, unless you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, it is all for naught. Now, if you're saved, if you're born again, oh, my friend, then is when the storehouse of blessings is opened, and you'll receive great rewards for your work. But only if you're born again, only if you're saved. Now, I want you to see, because it tells us here, having the everlasting gospel preached. In itself, the word gospel means good news. The There are four forms of the gospel. Dr. Schofield tells us this. There are four forms of the gospel. One is the gospel of the kingdom. This is the good news that God proposes to set up on the earth in fulfillment of the covenant of David. A kingdom, political, spiritual, universal, over which God's son, David's heir, shall be king, which is the Lord Jesus, which shall be for 1,000 years. Call that the millennium. The second is the gospel of grace. This is the good news that Jesus Christ, the rejected king, has died on the cross for the sins of the world, that he was raised from the dead for our justification, and that by him all that believe are justified from all things. The third is the everlasting gospel, Revelation 14:6, where we're studying today. This is to be preached to all the earth dwellers at the very end of the tribulation and immediately preceding the judgment of nations. It is neither the gospel of the kingdom nor of grace, though its burden is judgment, not salvation. It is good news to Israel and to those who during the tribulation have been saved. God's word is true. Now the fourth. This is what Paul calls, and this again I'm reading from my King James Schofield Study Bible, that which Paul calls my gospel. This is the gospel of grace of God in its fullest development, but includes the revelation of the result of that gospel in the outcalling of the church, her relationships, positions, privileges, and responsibilities. What a wonderful explanation of the gospel. And the gospel we're dealing with here is the third listed here, the everlasting gospel. Again, this is preached to the earth dwellers at the very end of the great tribulation. But it is neither the gospel of the kingdom nor of grace, because, you see, it's finished. It is finished. What a sad day it will be to hear the gospel news and not be able to be saved. Now, you know, in your life here, there are times, there is at least a time when God will call you for salvation. You'll hear the word of God. The Spirit of God will begin to move in your heart, show you your wickedness, show you how to be saved, show you the Lord Jesus Christ. Now maybe that time is come and gone for you. I don't know. If you're still breathing, as far as man can tell, you still have an opportunity. I don't know. And if you're listening today, and if the word is beginning to penetrate your heart that you need salvation, you need to come before this awful time comes upon this earth, it's not too late. But if you're saying that this is nothing, it's not necessary, it's not truth, I don't know whether you can still be saved or not. But today is the day of salvation, and there is no other day given according to the Word of God than today. So please, come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved today. Please call upon Him today for salvation. My dear friend, What are you going to do about Jesus?